Where's Steve? Oh, it's hiding behind a sign. We're ready for part two this morning. But before we get started, I wanted to put a plug in. Next week, we have a special guest speaker all the way from Brownstown. Pastor Don Woolen. Everybody ever meet him? Pastor Don is going to be teaching on he's going to be doing, well, let me give him the microphone. Tell us what you're going to be speaking about for the next 4 weeks, please.
We're going to go over the next 4 weeks, and I'll come back for another 4 weeks on how to correctly interpret the Bible. So many of us think we know how to interpret the Bible. Many Christians think that, but so I'm going to give you some little rules and illustrations to show you how important it is to know these. Otherwise, you'll make that Bible say whatever you want it to say, and that's when it gets dangerous.
Amen. All right. Make sure and be here next week. But that's next week. This week, we're blessed with having Steve, right? Steve, who would you like to open you up this morning? Roger, where are you at?
His usual seat. Sir, go for it.
Thank you, Lord, for his blessed day, the sunshine, another day above ground. Watch over our church. My brother Steve, I know we're going to enjoy his word, and it's just don't let him cut short. Let him get in the movement and just fill our hearts and our praise that we know what you deserve. And one more thing, Lord, and you Michigan fans, congratulations on a final eight. Oh, I'm sorry, that's right, it was state. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
All yours, Steve.
All right, good morning. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody feeling this morning? What's God doing? You know, I love to hear from you guys first before I get on my roll. So tell me something good. Tell me something good that God's been doing in your life. Something maybe even from last week that we talked about last week about knowing, being aware of knowing who God is in your life. And knowing that he knows us. Amen? It's on. All right. I can at least figure out the on and off switch sometimes. But anyhow. So we talked about last week about knowing who God is and how important it is to know who our Lord is and knowing who he's called us to be and knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt he knows us. Amen? And so, did that help anybody last week? Is there an example of that where you had to remind yourself? How many of us, during the week that we had last week, had to remind ourselves, God, you have to know my circumstances. You have to know who I am. Because it helps, and it propels you through the week to get you to where we are today. Amen? Pastor Don?
This isn't like a relay race, you know, pass it across. During the week, I finished practice down there at Clark, and I'm usually the last one. I always make sure all the girls pick up their gloves, and you know, because they're notorious for leaving junk behind.
Right.
Well,
come on now, preach that.
One day, I'm coming home after practice, we'd hand out, I mean, we had a lot of stuff to do, I'd hand out the jerseys and all that, and I get halfway home. And I go, I forgot my bag on the bleachers with my phone and my wallet. And I'm like, oh, no. I said, it's not going to be there. Because, you know, like the bums that walk around the park there, you know, they're like the zombies. You know, they as soon as you move out, boom, they're in to see what they can find and take to the store. So,
yes, sir. Yes,
I just started praying, Lord, listen. That wallet, if the phone I can do out without, even though, you know, I've got every number and all the information on there. I just had to settle myself. I said, Lord, well, I've got to trust. Please, you know, don't let this stuff be lost. So, make a long story short, I actually had my wallet. It was in pants when I had changed it. I had it with it. So I had my wallet, but the phone was still there. And the problem was that I-75 was just packed. They were doing road work up on the bridge there. Mm-hmm. And I go, man, it's going to take me an hour to get over there. So I called my assistant coach. He went out. He lived right there. Nope, it's not here. Oh. So he called the other coach because I didn't have nobody's number. Well, he picked it up, thank God. And I like just dropped my knees and like, Lord, thank you. You know, because those are two, you know, pieces of personal wear, your wallet or your phone that really, you know, you lose it, especially coaching or as pastor, everybody's number in there and what have you. But it was just that moment where I had to settle down and say, God, listen, this, I'm putting this in your hands because it's out of my control right now. So
right.
If I lose it, I got to praise you. But if I find it, I'll praise you even more. So,
And ain't it true? It's one of those things that may seem so small or insignificant at the time. Like when you read the story about Elijah and he lost, he had somebody with him. They were cutting down homes. They were cutting down wood to make homes for the prophets. And they went out and he lost the axe head in the water, if you remember that story. And it was just an axe head. To us, it's just an axe head. You ever hear a story or someone's telling you something, but it's, we're always kind of disengaged from the story because it's not us, right? When someone comes to you, they're all broken up. It's almost like for me as an officer, you know how many accidents I've seen as a Detroit police officer. And when I come to a scene, I mean, I try to get the people to understand it's just property. Your life is so important right now. You're lucky. You're looking at the way they got T-boned, and you're lucky. You're looking at the way their kid's child seat flipped over, and you're looking at all these things, and you're just trying to get them to understand in the midst of their crying, in the midst of their frustration, in the midst of the fact that they want to choke out the other person. The only thing that's stopping them is you showed up in enough time as an officer, right? Because in the moment, it's personal to us, and it means something to us. When I read the story about Elijah, you're reading the story of an axe head, and it's borrowed, and it's like, come on, man. Why couldn't this guy just get him a new axe head? Why is he bothering the prophet? I mean, that's a prophet of God. Why are you bothering? But God loves to be bothered by the things that matter to us. Amen? The very simple things he loves. So today, with that being said, before I go into it, does anybody else have anything else to share? Nothing? We got a quiet crowd. We're ready to go? All right. Turn with me to Acts 12. We're going to start off. I'm going to talk about knocking. Because one of the things about knowing who God is and knowing who he is in your life, I've come to understand that there's times in my life that there takes a degree of effort on my part. I may know who he is, but there's still times in my life where I have to be knocking on his door. It says in the Word of God, seek him where he shall be found. That's a word, that's an action word. It means I need to make some effort. Amen? So today, coming into the house of the Lord, we got an opportunity to go down the stairs and come out changed. Not like we were last Sunday. I refuse to go to a church where constantly we just come to feel good about our compromise throughout the week just to fall into it the next week. I say, God, let me come to this place where I can be changed, where my body can be made renewed, my mindset can come to a place of transformation, right? So, but when I was thinking about this stuff, there was a comical thing. Do you got that, Ed? That feed? I'm going to go to comical feed. I got something a little comical. Oh, let me see. It's one. Let me get here. It was.
Yeah.
Is that the one I sent?
This is the one you sent me, but it goes through like C1.
Yeah, just click that. Okay, now there's this guy named Sheldon, okay? There's a show called Big Bang Theory, okay? And I'm not into the big things about, you know, we can all super spiritualize the show, okay? I'm not here to get into a drawn exhortation about the show. I'm here to talk to you about, there's a guy on the show. He works for NASA. He's very intellectual, very high IQ. But in the show, the writers got him to where he has no common sense whatsoever. The guy is super smart. He can know his books. And how many people do we know like that, right? But anyhow, this guy, there's a woman that lives across the apartment. They live in an apartment building and lives across the way in the hallway. And he's constantly bugging her about the most goofiest things. And she knows him by now, but the writers kind of got this shtick going throughout their series that he's constantly going over there, knocking on the door. And he don't just knock once and walk away. Yes. You're about to see just a couple minutes before I get in here. Do we got it rolling now? You're going to see just kind of how he knocks and how I believe that God wants us to be continuously knocking on his door, asking him. He says to pray without ceasing, right? So in Acts 12, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version because it kind of relates and helps me a little bit better. Some people need all the help they can get, and I am one of them. So we're going to go to the New King James. We got this part queued up, ready to go?
This is the New King James?
This is not the New King James, what you'll be seeing. What you'll be seeing is it's a knocking by Sheldon here. And here he goes. This is how he knocked.
Oh, hey, Sheldon, what's going on?
I need your opinion on a matter of semiotics.
I'm sorry?
Semiotics, the study of signs and symbols. It's a branch of philosophy related to linguistics.
Leonard? Leonard? Leonard?
What?
I need to speak to you.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's important.
I highly doubt that. Go away. Are you still out there?
Yes.
What?
You're right. It can wait until morning. Leonard. Leonard. Leonard.
Oh. Leonard. It'd be so much easier if I were a violent sociopath.
Leonard.
What?
I was analyzing our lie, and I believe we're in danger of Penny seeing through the ruse.
How?
Simple. Penny! 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 Good morning.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
Of course I do. My watch is linked to the atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado. Accurate to 1/10 of a second. But as I'm saying this, it occurs to me that once again your question may have been rhetorical. Leonard. Leonard. Leonard.
Let it go, Sheldon. The murderer was a first mate, whether it makes sense to you or not.
No, that's the least of our worries. I've hesitated to point this out, but I must now remind you that we are in our current predicament because of your initial and totally inadequate deceit. I'm just trying to clean up after your mess. We'll talk in the morning. Penny? Penny? Penny?
Sheldon! What is it?
Leonard's asleep.
Thanks for the update.
No, wait. You have to drive me to work.
Yeah, I really don't think I do.
Okay.
Penny. Penny.
You get what I'm saying? Can you imagine a guy that came to your house every day, every morning, just knocking on your door?
Yes. Pastor Don, yes.
Pastor Don does that?
No, I get it.
Oh, okay. But I mean, so the show portrays this guy just continually knocking. And today we're going to talk about somebody who knocked on the door and what happened, the result of that. If you are there, Acts 12, say amen, Acts 12. All right, here we go. All right. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Now, some of us, how many of us can make that our life verse? Right? I mean, I think it's funny how sometimes we put things out on, we grab verses from the Bible and we put them as nice little sayings in our house. But, I mean, could that be a verse that we could just probably put in our car and put it over our speedometer and just as a constant reminder? Now, about that time, Herod stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. How many have ever felt harassed? All right, here we go. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of the unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. How about that? It opened of its own accord. Before we had power, before there was a Walmart that had a sliding door, we have a door that's automatically opening. Which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. Can you imagine? Peter standing outside the door. He was just about to be killed. He's sneaking off to knock on the door of the people of the church, and she keeps the door closed on him. Can you imagine? It's like your kids. When you ever have something heavy in your hand, or you got something heavy, and you're going to the door, and you got people clowning around, and the bag's kind of cutting into your hand. You know, you grab too much. It's your fault because you grabbed too much, but you didn't want to make that second trip. See, none of you guys know what I'm talking about. But what I like to grab a bunch of bags all at once. Ask my wife, and I come to the door, and I'm like, "Open the door! Stop playing around!" You know, because you want it. And that's just with groceries. Here, Peter is sitting there. On the eve of his execution, knocking on a door, and the lady, he knows they're in there, and she don't open the door. It's like, come on. If this story, the Lord knows us, right? He knows Steve Shank couldn't be written in here because I would have knocked once, and it would have said, "Stephen then just left," because he was scared for his life. So, but Peter stood by the door and continued to knock. Where are we at? Verse 16. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand, "Shut up." No, he didn't say that, but that's what I'd be saying. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent. That's a nice way of saying it. He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. I'm going to touch on just a few points. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. Oh, I said that, didn't I?
No, 14.
Verse 14, right?
1-4.
Yeah, when she recognized Peter's voice.
I'm sorry, 15, you're right.
But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." So they were all in unbelief for the thing that they're praying for. Have we ever came to a place in our lives where we've been praying for something, and then when it happened, we say, "Well, hold up, wait a minute, is this you, Lord?" Right? Yeah. Hold on, I got to know if this is Lord, and I need this confirmed. What have you been praying for? You know, sometimes when God brings something our way, we say, God, use us, God, use us. And then all of a sudden you get an opportunity to be used, and now you're sitting there all scared, your palms are sweating, your chest is beating 100 miles an hour, and it's like, come on, you've been asking God to use you. Step on out of the boat, Peter. I love Peter because he reminds me so much of myself, but all the mistakes he made. But here goes Peter. It says, these are just one of the points I want to make. First off, the church is about to lose an apostolic expression, and the only way to save it is intercession. One of the things, they're about to lose their leader. And one of the things, what do? They start praying, right? When it comes down to it, the game is still the same. You know, we always, you can read all these fancy books and you can go to a conference and you can go and learn all these things about who Christ is. But one of the things he's constantly asking us to do is draw near to him. I don't care what the situation is. I talked to Impact this week about the girl. We know the current events that have been going on in the media lately, especially in the city of Detroit, where this woman, 30, 35, 37 years old, you know, had her kids killed, you know, and it's such a sad story because she, if any of you heard, been following the news, don't follow the news because it's terrible, but I, you know, hearing this stuff, it was just horrible going into work and looking at, we when I go into work, we get daily reports of what happened in the city that day. And it, as my responsibility is to see if it happened in my area and what I need to do about it. Is there anything I can do about it? So I read these reports, whether they're mine or not. And I read this report about this lady who killed her two children. And then you find out that she had two children living in the home. And I said, my God. And it wasn't hidden in the basement. It was in the living room. This freezer was in the living room. And I said to Impact this week, I said, my God, we need to be a church of intercession. We need to be a church of prayer and ask God for discernment. Because how do those kids leave their house every day without somebody that has a call on their life, that has the Holy Spirit living inside of them, and say, listen, man, I know something's wrong at your house, and I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go until you tell me what it is. And God gives that kid a spirit of peace over his life, and he says, I believe you, and I trust in what you're saying to me, and I'm going to tell you everything. But instead, this kid is passing this freezer up every day, going on with our lives, and I believe that we live in an age that if we don't draw close to God, we're going to miss opportunity. We're going to miss opportunity. I believe the key reason why Peter is not killed in this moment is because he has a church of believers that are praying and pressing in because they knew who their God was.
Can I put one point there? This one I always love.
That's why I asked you to do 15. But they said to her, you are beside yourself, meaning you're wrong. The church gets together. Peter's in prison. All the other apostles get together. They're praying. I mean, they're sweating. They're praying for him to be released. He's pecking on the door. The girl comes and tells him, hey, Peter's at the door. Shut up, woman. We're praying. But Peter said, shut up. We're praying.
Right. Come on.
They continue praying. What good is praying unless you believe it's going to happen, right? When you go into prayer, believe that God's going to answer. They might not have said him. The answer might be no, but God is going to answer your prayer. They weren't even listening. They were too busy praying. And this girl was beside herself trying to tell him, hey, Peter's at the door. I don't care. We're praying for Peter's release. Be quiet.
And you know,
always got me. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. You know, so the thing is, they went to prayer. Second thing is that baffles me that I want to talk about is when you know who you are in him, Peter is doing what now? Aunt Sharon? Hold on, wait for the mic. Here it comes.
I like the version I have better that in 15 where they said, instead of you're beside yourself, mine says, you're out of your mind.
We have a more holy version.
That's a street version right there. Right. But you're exactly right. We don't believe in, sometimes when God's doing a work there, we don't understand it, or we still continue to hark on it, and God's saying, let's walk this out. Let's walk it out. Not to stop praying, but walk it out. Let's walk it out. The church is about to lose an apostolic expression. The only way to save it is intercession. Point two. Herod was doing what appeased the crowd. But what kind of faith is sleeping, chained up, with 16 soldiers around him on the eve of his scheduled execution? Do you remember Peter got in trouble before? Because he wasn't asleep when he got into trouble. How many remember the story about the boat and the storm? Right? What happens? What was one of the key verses? What did Peter say to God? The storm's rushing in, right? And this is in his young walk with the Lord. The storm's rushing on him, and these were Peter's words. Carest not that we perish? He goes down into the bow of the ship, starts shaking on Jesus, and he says, carest not that we perish? And this same man, and then what did Jesus do, if we remember the story? He rebukes Peter, first off. Before he rebukes any waves, he rebukes Peter. And I believe before that, and I've said this to Impact, because if Peter did not think he was going to survive, he should at least have faith in the fact that the cargo that he carried was so precious that it couldn't go down in the storm. Right? And we carry that same cargo with inside of us. We carry the living God inside of us, so that sometimes we might be going through something, but we should at least have enough faith in the cargo that we ourselves carry, that it's not going to go down in this storm. And some of us know that life has dealt us and shown us that we're not going to go down in a storm, because if that's the case, we would have been gone years ago. I know some of the stories in here. Some of you guys know mine. But I believe we serve an awesome God. An awesome God. Okay, Peter got in trouble before when storms came. Life has proved to us that the cargo we carry is so precious that we cannot be taken out in these storms of our lives today. Why the Now, point three I want to make. Why the excessive security? How many squads of soldiers does he have? Do the math for me. How many is that? How many men? 16 men are around him. I mean, maybe this is the police officer in me, and I'm just like, all right, what's his crew look like, right? But I'm just figuring out, okay, here goes Peter. He's got 16 guys watching him. All I know about Peter up until this point is he's a fisherman, not Harry Houdini, right? So why the excessive security? Why does he have so many people around him? Does anybody want to take a stab at it? Because I believe this. This is my thought process on this. I believe that because they had already had, they know the man that he serves. And they know the guy that he was taught, the rabbi that he was taught under. There was many times that they had tried to capture him. And it's just like, if you know who you're under, your leadership team you're under, it's a lot of times you're an example of the leadership you're under, right? So I believe that they knew the leadership that he stood under, and that was Jesus. And they knew that at one time they thought they had him, and they pushed a rock over the hole and said, he's done. But all of a sudden they moved the rock over. We're going to be talking about it. It's April. Let's get to Easter now. And he comes to where he's living. He's not there anymore. I believe it's because they knew he had an escape artist that he was under, right? And that we got to do whatever it takes. And I believe that the reason why sometimes we encounter so much draw from our adversary is because the enemy knows the God we serve is able to get us out of anything. Out of anything. Do we believe that? That's why I believe that he had the excessive security. How are we doing here on time? We all right?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Man, this time flies up here, Roger. It flies, I'm telling you.
You can do two chapters in 10 minutes. Steve.
No. Oh, man. Here we go. One of the points. Some of us are getting and drawing so much attention from the enemy because the devil knows we serve an escape artist that can get us out of anything. It is my job. Now, it's not just our job to say, figure everything out. But it's our job to hold fast to some of these scriptures. I got some of these scriptures that we should be holding on to. When you know who your God is, and I believe Peter knew this, he that we should hold on to a word like this. He that hath begun a good work is faithful and just to complete it. God is able to keep that is committed unto him. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Every tongue that rises against me shall be condemned. If God be for me, who can be against me? The battle is not mine, but the battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's not, but Peter's asleep. And I believe God's saying for some of us today, when you know who he is and when you know who you serve, chill out. We need to chill out. We need to take our emotions and just chill out. Peter now has learned his lesson. He's not shaking Jesus. He's not doing anything. He's sleeping. And it cracks me up because it's like, get your clothes on, son. They're like, gird up your sandals, put on your stuff. And I'm sitting there getting an imagery. Did Peter just walk into the jail like, all right, where do I put my coat? All right, let me take my stuff off. This dude was it wasn't an idle threat. They'd already killed James. But he was so comfortable in the fact of who his God was at this point in his life. And I believe that God is calling us before we go downstairs to say, you are my God. And I know that this week was rough, but I serve a God who is awesome. He is creator. He is Alpha and Omega. And he can get me out of anything. And we got to go in there with that mindset. The reason we jump around, it's not because we got everything together, right? It's because we know who our God is. So here we go. Peter knew. I'm getting all worked up. It's not an idle threat. He just killed James. He's sleeping. Peter knew and trusted God. He didn't just give him a day during the week. He gave him his life. Peter didn't just stand at the second gate. Now look at this. The first gate opened, right? By its own accord. The second gate he gets to, and this is why I like the New King James Version, because it says that he came to the second gate where he had to knock. But why didn't Peter just say, well, come on, Lord, if it be your will, just open up. Just if it's your will, you did it before. Because we can, I think we got to be very careful not to fall into that mentality. You know, the first door opened up for him, so he walked through it. And the second part says that he got to the second gate. It doesn't say Peter sat down, pitched a tent, and waited for the gate to open up. But what's it say? He began to knock. And I believe that today's message today, if you get anything, is that we got to knock. We got to knock. We just can't stand there idly saying, well, if you did it before, Lord, you'll do it again. We got to knock on the door. And he's knocking on the door and he doesn't care if they hear him. Like I said, if it was Steve Shank's version, it would have been Steve silently knocked. And then he left because he was in fear of his life. If these idiots don't open up the door, my God, right? It says that he knocked. And then what did he say? He continued knocking because he needed someone to hear him. And it doesn't say that he stayed there either. It doesn't say that he hid out. What was the last verse? What's the last sentence here? It says, what was the last sentence? He said, yeah, he just went to another place. So it wasn't like he was going to post up there. But he knew he needed to get in there and he knew he needed to tell him about God's goodness. So I believe that God wants us to continue to knock today. When you go downstairs today, when you go downstairs, I don't care what's been going on. I believe God's calling us to a heart like Peter and say, God, I might be scared, but I'm going to knock on your door today. I don't got it all together, but I'm going to put my hands up today because I need to get a touch from you. I need to hear your voice today. Amen? Amen. All right, we get something out of this today?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's pray. I'm going to finish early. What in the world?
We believe in miracles.
That's all right. I got this last point in my notes. I didn't think I'd get to it. It says, you're stuck. Don't be stuck. Because sometimes I write things better than I say them. I put it down here. Don't be stuck between your encounter and your destiny. Everything I have ever gotten that was worth something took some knocking on my part. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it should be open. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not leaving here stuck today. I'm not leaving this church here today stuck. I'm not just going to live off of what God did in my past. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you for our country that we can come to, that we're in, and we can come to a church in the state of Michigan today, Father, and seek out your face. Father, I pray, Lord, that today you would renew our hearts and minds and set our hearts like flint towards you, Lord. Let our eyes focus upon you and not our circumstances. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give us strength to knock today and have some doors opened up, Lord. Let the degree of expectation rise in our hearts this morning, Lord God, so that we can see you, your work be done. Let it be done in our children. Lord, let it be done in our parents' lives, in our fathers' lives, our families' lives, Lord God. We will not rest today without knowing that we have taken all we have and knocked on your door. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 Good job, Steve.